You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Biting the Bullet. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
Paul once asked, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Let's tell the truth. There are many things that could drive us away from a strong confidence in the love of God. One of those things is constant physical pain. I mean constant pain, not occasional pain. When I was young, I broke my front tooth. The dentist wanted to find out if the nerve in the tooth was still alive, so he started drilling without any anesthetic. And I'll tell you, that nerve was alive and I was in pain. But it was only temporary. There are people who have to suffer constant physical pain. Somehow these people, and you may be one of them, somehow you have to bite the bullet, as the saying goes. In the old days, when no anesthetic was available, a cowboy would bite the bullet to endure the pain. Thank God for all the modern ways medicine is able to alleviate pain. We don't have to bite real bullets anymore, but we still have to deal with pain. Despite modern painkillers, some of us find ourselves in constant physical pain. Constant physical pain presents a real temptation to seek the wrong kind of relief. I recently read a book entitled Fortunate Son. It's the autobiography of the son of Chesty Puller, a highly decorated Marine of World War II in Korea. Lewis Puller Jr. followed his dad's footsteps and entered the Marines. He fought in Vietnam and was wounded. He lost both of his legs, most of his left hand, and some of his right hand. Now, Mr. Puller is doing well today, but there was a time when he sought relief in alcohol. He writes, "For years I had used alcohol to numb the pain of my Vietnam experience and the loss of legs. And now, in what I regarded as a cruel irony, alcohol was failing to bring the relief of oblivion. Angered by the realization that my old companion was turning against me, I drank more heavily and became even more depressed and withdrawn." Misusing alcohol and drugs isn't the way to bite the bullet. Suicide isn't either. Suicide says there's no hope, even though we have a God who gives hope. My sister Pam's an expert in pain. She's had more surgeries than you can count on your fingers and on your toes. When I told her that I was working on a message about pain, she told me that you can't fall into the suicide trap. Pam then referred me to an article in the August issue of Woman's Day magazine that begins with this paragraph. "The pain never goes away," says Amy Marks, 37, of New Orleans, "no matter how much medication I take. I used to be a really vibrant person. Now I fight suicide every day." Don't bite the bullet by shooting it at yourself. Suicide says there's no hope. And my message to you is that there is a compassionate God who can give endurance and hope to you who suffer. The best way to bite the bullet is to pray. Pray for help to the best and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42, verse 3 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." It's a helpful picture that this verse presents to you who suffer. A reed is a tall, broadleaf grass. The verse says that the Savior will not break a bruised reed. A smoldering wick? You've seen the flame of a candle that was almost ready to go out. The Savior won't snuff it out. Do you who suffer ever feel like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick? Listen again to this great assurance. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Granted that you're in pain, but why would your Savior abandon you now? Think about it. The person we call Jesus Christ is the second person in the Holy Trinity. He's the Son. You know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For all eternity, this Son was a divine spirit. That is, he had no body. When it became necessary to save us sinners, when our sins had gotten us into such a mess that the only thing ahead of us was hell, the Son of God took on a human body. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He who had been God became God and man. He's still that way today. Would he have done that only to abandon you now? Doesn't make any sense. Now, to save you and me from punishment for our sins in hell, and talk about pain, God punishing us for our sins in hell would be the most terrible pain imaginable. To save you and me from that, the God-man Jesus Christ suffered in our place on Calvary's cross. Because he suffered for you and for me, our sins have been forgiven. The pains we experience now will not last forever. Instead, God will one day take his believing people to heaven where there will be no more pain. So I ask you again, would the Savior have done all that only to abandon you now? No way. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. St. Paul says, "The Father, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he certainly also give us all things along with him?" Yes, he will. By the way, Paul says that in chapter 8 of Romans. That's the same chapter where he asks, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" Paul's final answer to that question is the answer of hope. He says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." So, when you've got to bite the bullet, open your mouth and pray to him, your best Savior. The hour of trial should be an hour of prayer. My friend Sharon has had more than the normal share of physical pain. Some weeks ago when I saw her in church, I asked her about pain and prayer. Sharon said, "Sometimes the only prayer is, I hurt." Now, you might think that your prayer and pain should be something long and passionate. After all, there's so much that can be said to God, so much that should be said to him. We've had examples throughout our lives of long, eloquent prayers from preachers, prayers that are marvelous in lifting the soul to the throne room of God. So you might think that you should really offer a super-duper prayer when you're in pain. But Sharon knows from experience, sometimes the only thing you can say to God is, "I hurt." Sometimes all you can do is sigh or groan. But God hears. God knows how you're hurting. Psalm 103 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." Another expert in pain, my sister, said that she sometimes prays for just a week without pain. "Please, God, just 1 week without pain." Sometimes the prayer seems to be answered, and sometimes not. And that's why we pray, "Thy will be done." There are some prayers where we don't have to say, "Thy will be done." If we know that God wants something, then we simply ask. For example, "God, give me endurance, give me hope." We don't say, "Thy will be done," because we know from the Bible that endurance and hope is God's will for us. But when you pray, "God, ease my pain," you should say, "Thy will be done." Strange as it may seem, God may be working greater blessings upon you in your pain than you would receive if you had no pain. Martin Luther once said, "No one can realize the power of prayer except the person who has tried it and been taught by experience." Yet it's a great blessing that when confronted by extreme disaster, one can immediately call on the Lord. I've seen proof of this myself. Each time I've offered a sincere prayer about a problem that overwhelmed me, the prayer has been bountifully answered. In fact, God has given me more than I asked for. Then Luther adds, "Of course, sometimes God has been slow in responding, but respond, he did." My sister has found it to be just that way. Sometimes God eased her pain, sometimes not. but she's been blessed. When I asked her about her constant pain, she told me right away that it makes you look at everything in a different way. You realize what's important and what's not. And one thing she said becomes very important is endurance. Endurance is part of God's good will for us all. In Romans chapter 5, Paul says, "We know that suffering produces patient endurance, and patient endurance produces a genuine Christian character, and a genuine Christian character produces hope. In this hope, we will not be disappointed." So your hours of trial need to be hours of prayer. Yes, short prayers, sometimes only sighs, but prayers that are definitely heard by your Savior, who will not break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. The hours of trial for those who are suffering constant physical pain should also be hours of prayer for those of us who are not suffering pain. Sharon said, "Sometimes you hurt so much that it's hard to pray, but it seems to me that God then sends many Christians who pray for you. This to me has always been most strengthening to my faith and helps you to go on." We live in a society where everyone seems to be concerned only about themselves. Do you and I who follow the compassionate Savior, the one who came not to be served but to serve, do we pray only for ourselves and not pray at length for others? Do we remember the examples of intercession in the Bible? Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, Moses praying for Israel, David praying for his people, Jesus on the cross praying even for his enemies? Do we remember God's word in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "I urge you that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people"? This is good, the Bible says, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to know the truth. We should pray daily for others, including those who, because of constant pain, can only sigh to God for help. When someone you know has to bite the bullet because of pain, you should be praying for them. The habit of praying for others. And that's what it is, a habit that you have to develop. No one else can do it for you. The habit of praying for others requires either a good memory or a piece of paper. In your memory, or on this paper, you keep a list of those people who need your prayers. Then you, who are not burdened by pain, can go to the Heavenly Father at length for those who are suffering. Their hours of trial should be remembered in your hours of prayer. I invite you to call in for a free copy of this message. In fact, you can get two copies, one for yourself and one for someone you know who is hurting. Dr. Schulz will bring you the message next week, and then I'll be back talking more about prayer. Please join us. And please join me now as I close with prayer. Dear Savior Jesus, let nothing separate us from your love. Give us endurance and hope and teach us how to pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.